Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The Ensign Magazine, the official monthly publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, had an article in its April 2019 edition. It was written by Elder Alan D. Haynie, H-A-Y-N-I-E. He is of the General Authority 70s. That would be what we normally call the First Quorum of the 70s. He had an article titled, We Have to Be Clean. It's found on page 80 of the April 2019 Ensign Magazine. We've talked about what Latter-day Saints are instructed to do in order to be cleansed from their sins. But yet at the same time, Eric, we are coming across Latter-day Saints who insist that they are forgiven of their sins based on a mere confession of their sins and an attempt not to sin again. And I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I am not going to take away from anyone who is trying to overcome their sin. That is certainly a noble goal. And I know Latter-day Saints try very hard to be the best people they can possibly be. So I'm not faulting them there. But what I find in this article by Alan D. Haynie is it is a very traditional understanding of what is necessary for a Latter-day Saint to do if they hope to be cleansed from their sin. Because even in Mormonism, in order to get the best that the Mormon religion has for its people, in order to get this celestial exaltation that all faithful Latter-day Saints are striving to achieve, you have to be cleansed from your sin. But why is it so many times when we talk to many Latter-day Saints, unlike the group I was just referring to, many of them don't seem to have that assurance? And I think the reason why is based on what Elder Alan D. Haynie has to say in this article titled, We Have to Be Clean.
Maybe you're an evangelical Christian and what we're talking about is kind of new to you. Maybe you're just new to this radio program. But one of the things that you're going to run into when you're talking to Latter-day Saints is the similarity in the language. But if you don't understand what is being said, there are actually differences. And so two of the terms, as you were talking, Bill, that came to my mind were atonement of Christ. We always hear about the atonement, and we also hear about grace. And if you're just a normal church-going Christian who doesn't know much about Mormonism, you say, well, they believe in those things. I think the article we're going to read right now is going to help us understand that the atonement is not enough by itself. Grace is not enough by itself. In fact, the title of this article, which came, by the way, from a general conference talk that was titled Remembering in Whom We Have Trusted, but this is titled We Have to Be Clean. We Have to Be Clean. And the subtitle says The Savior Invites Us to Be Worthy to Return to Our Father. The idea that the Savior is inviting us to be worthy, it sounds like, well, it's an option. It's not really. He's going to talk about you have to be clean if you want to return to Heavenly Father's presence.
And I think you make a very good point, and that sometimes, I think, as evangelicals, we do have to listen very carefully to what our LDS counterpart is saying to us and listen to the language, because when he says we have to be clean, what evangelical would deny that? Of right. course we have to be clean. We understand that. We need a cleansing from our sin in order to not have to pay the consequence for our sin. The big question then becomes, well, how do we as evangelicals do this?
Yes.
And then the question also arises, well, how does a Latter-day Saint do that? And here, as you've mentioned, are the big differences between us. And that next line, the Savior invites us to be worthy to return to our Father. Well, we wouldn't deny that we need right. to be worthy. We would have to say, however, that our worthiness is not based in our personal performance. Because if it's based in our personal performance and our person, our performance is tainted by our sin, how could we ever hope to be, quote unquote, worthy if, in fact, our sinfulness causes us to always come short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 states?
And I think we need to understand when somebody uses a term like salvation, atonement of Christ, grace, I think we need to ask the one question we bring up all the time on this radio program. What do you mean when you say atonement of Christ or salvation or grace? Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the church, said that there was a difference between general salvation and what is called exaltation. We have to understand exaltation is not the atonement of Christ and grace. It just sets the pace for you to be able to attain everything that needs to be done by keeping the covenants that you make, keeping the commandments continually, as it says in D&C section 25. And so if you're somebody who's talking to a Latter-day Saint and they're using these terms, try your best to find out what they mean. Very likely, when they're talking about, for instance, salvation and grace, they're talking about, well, everybody gets grace. But according to Mormonism, we're saved by grace after all we can do, is what 2 Nephi 25:23 says. Understanding where the Latter-day Saint is coming from and the words they're using. But I think this article we're going to be reading here in the next few days is going to be helpful to understand what exactly is required in what you call traditional Mormonism. I think this is Mormonism according to what the unique LDS standard works are all about. The Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants especially talking about what is required. And so this article starts off this way. When I was 9 years old, my white-haired, 4-foot-11-inch maternal grandmother came to spend a few weeks at our home. One afternoon while she was there, my brothers and I decided to dig a hole in a field across the street. We got a little dirty, but nothing that would get us into too much trouble. Then other boys started to help, and we all got dirtier together. The ground was hard, so we dragged a garden hose over and put a little water into the hole. We got some mud on us as we dug, but the hole did get deeper. Then someone decided we should turn our hole into a swimming pool, so we filled it with water. I was persuaded to jump in and try it out. Now I was really dirty. When it started to get cold, I crossed the street, intending to walk into my house. My grandmother met me at the door and refused to let me in. I was wet, muddy, and cold. Finally, I asked her what I had to do to come into the house.
Now, let me stop you there because you can kind of see where this is going. And this is not uncommon as to how Mormon speakers get to the point. They usually tell you a little folksy story. So here we have, he's now filthy dirty from jumping in a mud hole. And I can relate to that because I remember doing the same exact thing as kids, taking the hose and softening the dirt in order to dig it up when it was hard. But then when he says, finally, I asked her what I had to do to come into the house. Now, what do you think the house is going to represent in this story? As he's going to bring out, it's getting back into the presence of Heavenly Father, getting into that celestial kingdom that, as I mentioned earlier, all faithful Mormons are hoping to achieve.
He continues, I stood in the backyard while she sprayed me off with a hose. After what seemed like an eternity, she pronounced me clean and let me come into the house where I was able to warm up and put on dry, clean clothes.
Now, let me stop you there, Eric, because I don't know if Mr. Haney meant this when he uses that expression, but when he says, after what seemed like an eternity. Again, I don't know what he meant when he said this. I'm only going by this article here. Was he perhaps implying that maybe, as some Mormons think, that you're going to have the ability throughout eternity to get this kind of cleansing? Because I don't think that's where he's going to go with this. Although, the reason I ask that is because we have talked to Latter-day Saints who give you the impression that, hey, if I don't do everything I'm supposed to do during this mortality, that's okay. Heavenly Father loves me, and he's going to give me the opportunity to make up for lost time after I die. That might make a lot of Latter-day Saints feel good, But I don't think you're going to be able to support that from either your own scripture or even from the statements of general authorities gone by. We've talked about this verse a lot of times, but let's go back. Alma 34 makes it very clear in the Book of Mormon that now is the time for men to prepare to meet God. You cannot procrastinate your repentance even until death and expect God to somehow wink at your sin. Remember, the God of Mormonism in the Doctrine and Covenants, Section 1, makes it very clear that he cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. And here I would say, Eric, as a Christian, I would agree with that statement. I don't think the God of the Bible looks upon sin with the least degree of allowance either. That's why I think having a clear understanding of what is expected in order to be cleansed from our sin becomes oh so important. And if what Mr. Haney is going to say in this article regarding how a Latter-day Saint gets cleansed, I would think that there would be many listening to him. And as you mentioned, this is adapted from a conference message that he gave back in October of 2015. It can be found in the November 15th ensign beginning on page 121. It was titled, Remembering in Whom We Have Trusted. I would think most Latter-day Saints would probably be a little nervous as to whether or not they feel assured that they, in fact, are clean, as Mr. Haney is going to describe here.
How many times do you have to sin in order to be classified as a sinner? For instance, let me give this example. If you were to tell 999 truths and one lie, what would that make you? Well, obviously, it would make you a liar. Or you tell the judge, well, you know, I haven't murdered 999 other people, but I did murder this one, but I'm pretty good because that's pretty good batting average. Well, the point is, according to the Book of Mormon, as you mentioned, Alma 34, you can't take care of that sin in the next life. Let me read verse 35. We've read this before, but I'm going to read it again because I think it's powerful. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. Now, we don't believe the Book of Mormon is true, but Latter-day Saints do. If this is the truth, then you have to take care of it in this lifetime.
I think if you look at Alma 34 in its proper context, this is the time. This life is the time for men to prepare. I don't know how you can read Alma 34 and draw any other conclusion. You certainly cannot go to those passages and make the assumption that you have a chance after you die. But how many times have we talked to Latter-day Saints?